It's not, you're right, it's not. I was honestly wondering where to go with this. I have been sick here recently. And the last time I believe we had one of these type episodes, you know, you were battling a couple of things, kind of going through it a little bit, and we talked about, you know, not hearing the word of God, and an interesting thing was brought to my attention at one point in time. One of the things that we like to quote, and it is scripturally based in Christian circles, is that, you know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, correct?
Correct.
And so
that is a thing.
One of the things that was brought to my attention was two things. Number one, whose voice do you hear the most, and whose voice are you most likely to believe? Your own. And so the importance that that person, I think, was pushing, the emphasis that they were trying to place, is not only being in prayer and in meditation and, you know, studying God's word, but actually declaring and proclaiming truth out loud, even if it's to yourself, or if it's in conversation with your spouse or a close circle of friends or a stranger, whatever conversation or dialogue you find yourself engaged in. You know, it's just, there's a very importance of you yourself speaking truth, because you yourself will hear said truth, and your faith will grow out of you yourself speaking it. And so I thought that was a very interesting point that I heard, that's really been resonating me over the last couple of weeks, because I have been out, not down for the count, but I have been down in a manner of sorts. So,
right. Well, you say how you hear yourself, and the scripture we're talking about, it says, how should they hear without a preacher?
Mm-hmm.
And it just, I guess, hit me that preacher is not a position.
No, it's not.
Preacher is an action.
Yes, it is.
So anybody can be a preacher. You can preach. I can preach. I can preach to myself. I can preach to you. I can preach to my kids.
Yeah. And we are all called to do those things too, I might add. You know, interesting that, you know, you say that about, you know, the position or title and stuff. You know, a lot of times in Christian circles, we get caught up with that, I think. And to our own folly, to our own, you know, misstep, because, you know, you talk about preaching. Well, that's something that we're all called to do. Maybe in different capacities or in different ways, but I think, you know, speaking and proclaiming truth is something, you know, that we all can do, certainly, I think. It just may look a little different depending on how we do it. You say that you're not called to pastor. Well, what is pastoring? You know, caring for someone else spiritually, praying for them, counseling them with them, talking with them, you know, just walking alongside them in life. I think that we all can do that.
Yeah. Who's to say you can't do that?
Yeah. So it's just a thing to where, you know, if you say that that's just not for me, you know, I might have to dig a little bit deeper with whoever would make that claim. Are there different gifts that are, you know, dispersed? Yes, there are. But I think that I'm a very basics oriented person. I think that there's a basis of all of our Christianity that, you know, all of us are not, I don't want to use the word obligated, but there's an opportunity for us all to lean into that. I don't think we do as much. I think it's definitely there for us all. I think we can have a much more, not better experience, but just a much more fulfilling life if we were to, you know, lean into that a little bit more. All these things that we have the opportunity to do and responsibility on some level. So
I'm nodding my head at you.
Thank you. I can't
sorry, I'm still a little tired.
No, you're absolutely fine.
But decided to wake up earlier today so that I might actually get more than 4 hours of sleep tonight.
Absolutely. Before we came on, you know, I just learned that today that we're recording this is National Podcast Day. I'm going to mark that on my calendar because I love podcasts, not just making this one, but it's one of the media outlets that I engage in probably most. And I actually learned this from, I was telling you about this, the radio station that I'm at shared this, and they were asking on their post, actually, would you guys like it if some of our DJs did this? And so I was like, So That was that would be amazing if all of these worlds kind of met.
Worlds collide.
Exactly. But you know, in a day and age, you know, today's National Podcast Day. We talked a little bit about you know, us all having the opportunity and the capacity to preach. You know, in the era of social media that we live in, you know, everybody's got a platform these days. Everybody's got a voice and the capacity to spread whatever message they want. And I think
you don't have to. No longer do you have to have that soapbox to stand on to.
Oh, you have it.
Preach on the corner.
Oh, you have it.
No, I mean you don't have to have a physical soapbox.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
To stand on a physical corner. You can stand in your. You can sit in your own bed and have your soapbox there to preach to the world.
Absolutely. And so I think in this day and age, it's much more upon people in general, but people who claim to represent God to be much more careful and cautious on the things that not only we post, but the things we share, things we like, the things that, you know, because, you know, everyone, not everyone, but there are people watching us, you know, and listening to us and, you know, people who are looking to us for, you know, not only for truth, but they're looking at our actions and the way that we're conducting and contorting ourselves for direction, you know, and not to say that we just have to live this stiff, you know, a life that, you know, we're always under a microscope. That's certainly not the case at all, but we should be more cognizant of again how we navigate and how we move, you know, not only in this world but on social media. A lot of
I can get behind that.
Yeah, for sure. You know, a lot of people, as we were talking about in our last episode that we just recorded, you know, a lot of people are very willing these days to give their opinions, you know, on different social issues or politics or anything controversial.
Pretty much anything.
Yeah. You know, and we do live in a very polarizing and divisive time. You know, and I'm sure you've had your experiences and conversations with people. I've had my own. And it's difficult at times. It really is. I wish this was one of those instances. I'll have to figure this out in the future as we're talking about podcasting. I feel like we can have a more kind of open conversation about this, kind of a more decomposed and raw. But I wish this was one of those times where we could kind of phone in someone to maybe phone in some wisdom about this topic of just, you know, knowing how to move in this age, you know. And because I was actually thinking about posting something on Facebook myself, and it was inspired by a song/poem that I heard, and I was like, I just want to go for broke sometimes and plead so much ignorance hops and say, listen, I have no idea what I'm talking about, please help, you know.
Right.
Because I don't claim to have all of the equity, you know, on truth or righteousness or being right or knowing or wisdom, knowing exactly what to do and how to do it. You know, I would really love, you know, for you know, like I said, for others to be engaged in this conversation.
I hear you. And I know sometimes I appear to come across as a person who does know a lot of things. Especially regarding what's right or wrong in scripture. And I tend to nitpick at people, but I'd be the first to admit to you, I don't know everything.
Sure.
I mean, when something comes up that I do know about, yeah, sure, I'll say something, but there are a lot of things that I don't know.
Right. And even the things that we do know sometimes, it doesn't even mean we execute them 100% of the time.
True story.
So
or
it's
that,
just...
Or that we know them and... We're absolutely 100% accurate about what we know.
Exactly. So there's so much, you know, variance and, you know, flaw. And I don't say that, you know, I don't mean to say that sharply, but you know, because of those things that we both have just stated, you know, might we, I don't mean you and I specifically, however, we're not excluded from this. You know, might we as a people just kind of go forth with much, much more humility and in how we approach people, how we respond to people. You know, another thing that comes to mind, you know, we talk, you know, another thing that we talk oftentimes about is, you know, the different movies and books and music that you and I are engaging in. And one of the people that I follow, Lecrae, came out with his latest album recently. And he's got this song on there, Hops. You know, even if hip hop isn't your main genre that you listen to, while I recognize you are quite the eclectic, he's got this song on there, man, called Cry For You. I mean, I broke down. Like, seriously. You know, he's got this line on there that goes, you know, will you cry for me or will you judge me? You know, and it got, all speaks back to this point of humility. If you know what it's like to live with, you know, knowing that you're not right in the sight of God, with knowing that you have your own personal flaws and shortcomings, if you know what it's like, then why would when you see someone else fall short themselves, why would that invoke a response of anger or trying to just immediately judge and correct that person without any, devoid of any compassion or love or care towards that person at all, you know? And that kind of thing just really strikes me these days. You know, people are looking to us for those things, and oftentimes, funny enough, we come up short of providing those things. You were gonna say something?
No.
I was trying to chime in. But I'm sorry.
If I lost it.
Sorry. And then if this is a bit of a Reese rant, which we've been no stranger to, you know, that's kind of where I'm at, man. You know, I've said this in a couple different conversations that I've had with people. You know, I sincerely believe that we're called to something greater. And inside the conversation, the topic that we're having right now, just how we treat people and how we conduct ourselves with people, either in person or on any social media platform that you may fancy, you know, we have not only opportunity but responsibility to treat people and to respond to people in a much elevated way of what they're going to get in the world, you know, and the way that we use scripture. I don't think that we should really be looking to Christianity and how we're displaying it as just a book of do's and do nots, but much more should we be looking to it, to the person of Jesus, and just how he did things, what he did, you know, what did he do with people? You know, most of the time, if not every time, he ministered and cared for people before he ever preached to them. Right. You know, is what I find, you know, and might we be the same, not only in our personal lives, but in our local, you know, New Testament, you know, churches and things like that. May we be reaching our communities in the same fashion that he did. You know, and again, none of this is easy per se, because, you know, he was God, he is God, and we're not. You know, like I mentioned earlier, in this divisive time, it's so easy for us to be divided. But we have to be united. We're called to it. And so, any of that, Hops, I really want you to jump in here on anything that's kind of going on right now, and anything that I said.
Well, I know, just to make it personal, because, you know, that's what it's all about.
Mm.
That is something that I have long struggled with. Not necessarily responding out of compassion, but coming off as being out of compassion. I have struggled for some for some reason, and the reason I still struggle with it is I have yet to figure out how it happens. Okay. But I have a tone of voice problem. Mm-hmm. Even my own wife doesn't always know what I'm trying to get across emotionally when I say things to her.
Sure.
I come across, sometimes I'll come across angry when I'm not angry.
Not necessarily what you say, but how you say it.
Right, how I say it. I have a long issue with my words getting lost in my tone.
Right.
And you and I have talked about it. One of the reasons is I tend to be a very passionate person.
Right.
And I know that I'm not the only person like that out there in the world.
No, sir.
There may be some of our listeners that are that way, that just know that, you know, I struggle with it too, being passionate about something and people taking it wrong.
Sure.
Expressing, you know, how you feel about something, but people taking it as, you know, you're yelling at them or angry at them when all you're doing is trying to express your point.
Sure.
With the passion that you feel about it.
Right.
And I also have that issue with coming across the right way in social media.
Right.
I had an issue a couple weeks ago where I started out pointing something out to somebody out of love and concern for them to make sure that they weren't supporting something that wasn't biblically accurate. Mm-hmm. Or theologically accurate. I just wanted to, you know, my intention was to say, hey, you might look into this more, but it came off, according to the person, it came off as though I was attacking them.
Sure.
And obviously, tone of voice and intention is really hard to
decipher.
Express in text messages.
Sure.
Or posts on social media.
Right.
But that it really hits home, I guess you could say, what you're talking about doing things out of compassion. Is that something that, for me, that I struggle with, is being able to express that compassion.
Sure.
Whether I have it or not, it doesn't seem to come across all the time.
Right. And that's,
I can get all vulnerable and
No, that's great, man. That's good stuff, you know. And I think we're dealing with a lot of that these days, you know, the message being lost in the method. You know, some might say that, you know, a person named Colin Kaepernick has fallen victim to that.
Mm.
You know, his message, regardless of if you agree or disagree with it, you know, we're not going to get into that conversation right now. So if you are tempted to take your thumb and press it towards the click button, you know, don't fret not.
We're not
going there on this episode, at least, you know. But, you know, I think, you know, like I said before, regardless of if you agree with his message or his stance or not, his method, I believe, clouded his message, and we've gotten to a point to where it's completely lost now. You know, and so we face and deal with a lot of misunderstanding in our day and age. And I think if we are, as people and as Christians especially, allowing love to rule and reign in our lives and control our actions, you know, we take a minute and we step back and say, okay, on just the face of what I'm doing, on the onset of it, from my whole premise, how I'm going about doing whatever it is I'm doing, how can I make sure that love is not only being communicated, but is being displayed in what I'm doing right now? And so, you know, not to necessarily counsel you per se, but, you know,
if the shoe fits,
you know,
try putting it on.
Well, just because the shoe fits doesn't mean you necessarily have to wear it. But that's what somebody told me one time. You know,
I mean, I'm not gonna try to put on a pair of heels just because they might fit my feet.
All right, so I'm just gonna keep going. Anyway, you know, you may not, if you have the opportunity to not even respond on social media, but just to that person, you know, in person, you know, out of that same love and compassion that we have for people. If you are, you know, not questioning you, but saying you in a general sense now, if you are sincerely and genuinely concerned about that person and them maybe believing something or attaching themselves to something that isn't necessarily true, or even coming from the posture of gaining a deeper understanding, like, hey, I saw this, or, you know, I heard you say this at some point. It doesn't even have to be social media, but I heard you say this at some point. Can we talk about that? Can we speak to that? Because I'd like to understand more of where you're coming from. And I think, you know, I think there's a lot of misunderstanding, but I think it's possibly also, I think it's also possible to maybe kind of not necessarily question people's motives, but, you know, that kind of becomes a thing when you see so many people so vicious and like, okay, this word friend, as my dad used to say, gets thrown around too loosely. You can't be so quick to call someone your friend, you know? And, I think that those kind of relationships are in this day and age, you know, are given the great opportunity to be proven. But if you have people in your life that truly love you and truly care about you, you know, they will come at you, with that level of compassion and seeking to understand you and face you, you know, and just not try to fix you all the time, as I've also heard it put. So,
yeah.
So,
that also goes into my struggle is, I'm a fixer. I'm a fixer more so than I think a lot of men are, because for some reason I feel almost compelled. Like, it's almost compulsive for me to, when I see something that is inaccurate, and it's specifically inaccuracy,
right,
that it just, it's like it gets under my skin.
Yeah.
I just sit there going, I really want to say something.
Yeah,
I actually withheld myself from saying something the other day, and I'm still struggling with it, because I saw a typo on somebody's post, and I'm like, they're putting this out in a semi-professional manner for their business, and I feel like I should say something, but at the same time, I'm like, but I don't know that I should. I mean, it's their business.
Right.
It's their stuff.
It's their, like, literally their business.
It's literally their business. So why should I be worried about it?
Right. And again, if you so chose to do that, the manner in which you go about doing it, you don't comment on the status for everyone to see.
Right.
Like, if you have love,
send a direct message.
Yeah. You go about it just totally different, even if you elect to do it at all. And I think that fixer mentality is something that a lot of us struggle with. And it's not just a guy thing. But, you know, as far as, you know, you talk about just statuses and posts and stuff like that, you know, you see that a lot with people just want to fix people. And, like, at some point we have to understand, hey, that's God's job.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, you know, you don't, I think a lot of times we get into just, you don't love me. You're just trying to police my behavior. Like, you're not the spiritual police. Like, you're not the Holy Spirit. Like, leave me alone. And especially how you're coming at me. Like, not only necessarily what you're saying and who you are saying it, but, like, how you're coming at me. There's no love. There's no compassion here.
Yeah. On the face, speaking the truth in love.
Exactly. And again, even before that, like, who are you again? Like, we don't have an established relationship beforehand, so I don't see why you feel a need to do this on multiple fronts. So it's just like, you know, another thing that I've said before is that, you know, we oftentimes have, you know, pet sins, you know, sins that are a little bit more offensive to us for some apparent reason,
right?
You know, And we feel the need to see those in other people and point those out. You know, I heard it put recently that, you know, Christians will have their pet sins and think that the people who execute those sins are going to a deeper and darker hell than their own self-righteousness. You know, and it's just a problem. It's just a problem. But what I was going to say earlier was that, you know, when people sin, unless it is personally against you, they're not sinning against you. Nope. They're sinning against God. And again, it goes back to my prior point of if they're sinning against God and we know the repercussions from that sin, either if they're lost or if they're saved, why does that yield a negative, angry, hostile emotion from us? Why do we respond?
That's an interesting thing to try to figure out. Why do we respond that way? Because I know I have done that.
Sure.
Where I see somebody doing something that I, a mistake that I made, and my response is, well, they're stupid. Or not to put too fine a point on it. Like I said, I'm brutally honest sometimes.
Sure.
But I get upset at them. And it doesn't, you're right, it doesn't make sense. Why would I get upset at them? When I should, out of my own experience, know what they're going through and be like, hey, yo, this is where you're going. You know, put the road sign up. Hey, road's out ahead.
Right. But even you and I have had, you know, what we call our Ford Fusion talks, you know, before we even, you know, quote unquote, preach to them. I mean, our immediate response should be prayer, you know, because if that's ultimately God's job to do anyway, is to change hearts, then why wouldn't we bring it to him first rather than going to them?
Right. 2 minutes.
You know, and so that's just really kind of what I've been on, you know, just in this age of, you know, divisiveness and controversy and people having a platform to give their opinion on it, you know, wanting more conversations to be much like this one and to, you know, people kind of speaking wisdom into how we move about this time and this era that we live in, and just ultimately the opportunity and responsibility that we have as a people to how to conduct ourselves and how to respond to people, because how we treat them is going to be ultimately how they see truth and how they hear it and how they ultimately hopefully accept it. So I think until next time, I'm Reese.
I'm Hops.
Pass the mic.
We're out.